Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now we all know what a door is, and we use them frequently every day. I find it very interesting that when we turn to the Bible and this last book of the Bible, we are confronted with several doors. I have read of one of them. If we had read a little bit before this, we would have read of the first of them. If we'd read a little bit after this, we would have read of the third of them. Three doors that face us as we read these chapters in the opening of the book of the Revelation. What are they? The first door that we find in chapter 3 is a door of opportunity to preach the gospel. These letters were written and taken to churches 2,000 years ago who were undergoing persecution. The Roman Empire was against the preaching of the gospel. The gospel began to be preached under opposition. And the risen, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, he says, listen, the whole of the armies of Rome may be against you, the power of the emperor may be against you, but I am setting before you an open door, and no one can shut it, not even Caesar. What a door that was. This is really very similar to what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He says again, make disciples of every nation. Go. And I'm opening a door to you, and no one will ever be able to shut it. Well, Rome was not the last to try that. The atheistic USSR, under Stalin, and those leaders that followed him, they tried to stop the gospel, but they couldn't do it. Yes, they made it difficult. And right across our world, there have been those who are rising up and they're trying to stop the gospel to be preached. But right until this day, that door stands wide open. Why? Because we need to hear it. We need to discover that we are sinners. We need to discover that there is a Savior. And we need to hear the words to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And so the Lord Jesus, at the very beginning of this day of grace, having suffered for sinners upon the cross, having died for sin, having been raised from the dead, he opens a door to the world and he says, go and preach the gospel. And no one will ever shut that door until I shut it. Just a couple of nights ago, we were hearing from Luke chapter 13 that the Lord Jesus, the master of the house, one day is going to rise up and shut that door. Chapter 4 begins with another door. And it is another open door. And it's a door opened up into heaven. And in that chapter, John, who is a picture of the church, he is caught up through the door into heaven. He hears the words, come up. And John leaves the world and he goes up through a door into heaven. Not now a door of the gospel to the world, but a door into the very glory of heaven. And it's open as well. Now the thing is, that door hasn't been opened yet. You say, when's that door going to be opened? Well, that door is going to be opened when the Lord Jesus comes to the air. And one of these days he's going to do that. He's coming back again. He says, if I go, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. Who? those that belong to him, those who are saved of their sins, those who have believed in him for salvation. And in that moment, when the Lord Jesus comes to the air above this world, he shall catch up to himself every single believer. Everyone who is saved, those who have died in Christ shall be raised. Those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says we shall ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful day that will be when that door is opened into the glory of heaven. I ask you, my friend, are you ready to go through that door? You have heard the gospel because the Lord Jesus has opened the door of the gospel to the world and he has allowed you and I to hear the message of the gospel. But are you ready to go through that other door, that door into glory? If the Lord Jesus were to come tonight, are you ready to go? In between these two open doors is a door that is closed. That's the door that we have read of here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Some years ago, I was having meetings in a town that's about 10 miles from the city of Oxford in England. Oxford is a very famous town for its university. Its university ranks amongst the highest of what they call the Ivy League universities. Highly sought after are the places at Oxford University. The university itself is made up of a number of colleges, each of them in their own little quadrangle, beautiful ancient buildings of stone. And I entered the quadrangle one beautiful day as a tourist, I hasten to say. I could never make the grades for Oxford. The one that I chose to visit was Keble College. I went there particularly because as you enter that college, go through the archway and into the beautifully manicured green quadrangle, over to the right-hand side is a chapel. You enter through the chapel, you turn to the right, and there is the altar, but on the alcove, over to the right-hand side, there is a spectacular painting. The painting depicts a man, evidently the Lord Jesus, the glory shining from his face. That man in that painting is standing in the night. Over his right shoulder is shining the morning star. The day is coming. There's not long to go. In his left hand, held some ways about his waist, is a lantern. His right hand is raised and it's knocking at a door. But the door is fast shut. Growing up before the door are weeds and briars, and growing across the hinges of the door is ivy. That door has evidently never been opened. Little girl, looking at it one day, said, as she tugged at the clothes of her mother, she says, "Mommy, the painter got it wrong." "How so, darling?" "Mommy, he forgot to paint the handle." No, he didn't. Some years after Holman Hunt painted the famous painting, he felt he had to explain it to people. He says there is no handle on the outside. God puts the handle in the human heart on the inside. He'll never force an entry. He will never come like the SWAT teams of the FBI or of the special forces. He will never burst through the door. He will never force upon the human heart. The handle on the human heart is on the inside for us to open to him. And so I stood there that day, tried as best I could to absorb what the painter had painted, and why they ever put it there, I don't know. He gave it as a gift to the college, and they put it in this obscure place, and they began to charge people to see it. And so, Holman Hunt painted a bigger one. And you can go to London and you can see it for free in St. Paul's Cathedral. The light of the world. He captured this verse in that canvas of the Lord Jesus standing at the door and knocking. Knocking upon a door that had never yet swung open to him. We're here for the final time in these meetings. And the door of your heart is yet to be opened to Christ. The door of your life has yet to swing towards him, to receive him. You've been hearing that there is something that you must do to be saved. And that's what we want to preach just now. That you must do if you are going to enjoy his presence forever. I want to think with you, first of all, of his posture. Where is he? And what is he doing? The Lord Jesus says, I stand. I stand. You know, the Bible tells us that after the Lord Jesus went to the cross and hung upon a cross, think of that, the posture of the Lord Jesus. I read of him reclining in the upper room whenever Judas went out to sell him. I read of him kneeling and praying and casting himself upon the ground, praying to God in the garden. I read of him being bent over and scourged. I read of him being nailed to a cross and hanging. I read of him lying, lifeless in a tomb. I read of him being raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is now sitting in heaven. Why? Because the work of the cross is complete. There is nothing more to do to save souls. He did it all at the cross. That is why you and I are not asked to do anything to provide our own salvation. We're not called upon to work our way to God. We're not called upon to give our contribution. And even if we cannot pay it all, at least to pay what we can pay. No, my friend, we're not called upon to pay anything. Because Jesus paid it all. What did he pay? The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, he went to offer himself. Away back in those days, there were priests. And they came and they stood, and they stood all day, and their legs were tired and their arms were tired because they kept on offering the same sacrifices that could never take away sin. And they stood every day and they never got a rest. But the Lord Jesus came to the cross to offer himself for our sins. And the Bible says, when he offered himself, he cried upon that cross, it is finished, it is paid, it is enough. And he died. God raised him from the dead, and he sat down. Because there is nothing more to offer. Oh, that you could get this. The finished work of the cross. The Lord Jesus is seated in heaven because there's nothing more to pay for human sin. He has paid it all. You can be saved because of that, because the Lord Jesus died that you might be saved. He died for all. But in this verse, he's standing. why is he standing? Well, when we think of his work upon the cross, he's seated now because the price is paid. There's nothing more to be done. That work is finished, but there's a work that he hasn't finished yet. He hasn't finished with this world. He hasn't finished with you. He's still standing and he's still knocking. And this is something that thrills my soul. That as far as the call of the gospel goes, this is still an unfinished work. Oh, I love that story the Lord Jesus told about the great supper. And the message goes out. The house was filling, but yet there's room. And as far as the gospel is concerned, it's still an unfinished work. The Lord Jesus is still in the business of saving souls. In Canada, in the United States of America, in Ireland, across the globe, he's standing. Because there is an unfinished work. He's got unfinished business with you. He wants to save a boy in this meeting. He wants to save a girl in this meeting. He wants to save a teenager who's on the very edge of making disaster and wanting away from home and doing what the prodigal did. He wants to save you from yourself and from your sin. There's an older friend here tonight, and he's got unfinished business with you. He's still standing. I want to think of his position. Not only his posture, he's standing. But he's standing outside the door. It's simple. And yet it is serious. That the Lord Jesus as yet is outside of your heart and outside of your life. He's outside still. But you say to me, is it not true that we live in a Christian country? Well, maybe you think it is. Although a couple of generations ago, this country turned very secular. But there is no such a thing as a Christian country. You say, but I live in a Christian home. Well, it is lovely for you to perhaps have a father or mother or both who pray for you and read for you. But listen, my friend, being a Christian's child does not make you a Christian. Christ is still outside of your life if you have never been saved. For you to enjoy what the Christian enjoys, for you to have the forgiveness of your sins, you must let him in. He's standing on the outside of the door. It seems incredible that the Lord Jesus would ever be on the outside. The Bible says that his rightful place is right in the heart of things, right in the midst. Do you know where God has put the Lord Jesus today? Right upon the very highest throne in heaven. He's in the midst of the glory. How could it be possible then that we humans keep him outside the door of our lives? Such is the seriousness of our sin. You see, basically sin is this. It is us deciding that we don't want God to be God in our lives. We want to be our own God. We want to chart our own path, take our own course. The Bible puts it this way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And those two parts reflect what we've been hearing from our brother. That little sheep that went astray, that the shepherd went to find. We are lost by nature. But that boy that set for the far country, We are woefully lost as well. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's what Adam did in the garden. And that's what Eve did. They rebelled against God. They said, God will not be God in our lives. We will take our own course. And that's why he's outside the door. I want to think with you just for a moment of his persistence. Sometimes when we're doing gospel work, we go around the doors and we see a little movement inside and we know that there's someone there and we knock upon the door and we wait. We think, well, maybe they didn't hear us. So we knock upon the door again and then it strikes you. You just know, you get that sense. Yeah, they know you're there all right, but they're not for opening the door. And I've got to be honest with you. At that point, I usually turn and go to the next house. I very seldom will knock a third time. Sometimes then we get the opportunity back home. If we're going on for several weeks back home, sometimes we go on for 5 or 6 or 7 or even 8 weeks of gospel preaching. So we get around the area a second time and we look at the house again and we say, well, Lord, I tried it the last time, I'll try it again. So we maybe do go back and we knock upon the house again. And there's still no answer. So we just go away. The Lord Jesus doesn't act like that. He keeps on knocking. I don't want to get into the detail of the grammar of the Bible, but it means that he was there in the past. He is there in the present. In the past he was knocking. In the present he's still knocking. He keeps on knocking. Do you know that the Lord Jesus wants to save you from hell? He wants to bless you. He wants you to be in heaven more than you want to be in heaven, if it is you want to be there at all. He's longing to save you, and he does not give up easily. He keeps on knocking, gospel meeting after gospel meeting, preacher after preacher, times when you're on your own and the quietness of your heart, and he speaks again, he knocks again. Sometimes there's that big truck and it sways into your path and there's just the hair goes up on the back of your neck and you take a deep breath. I could have been gone. And he speaks again. He knocks again. He keeps on knocking. Oh, the persistence of the Lord Jesus, as Holman Hunt in that painting tried to capture it. The night is long spent. The morning star is a symbol of the fact that the morning is about to break. And for this person at the door, they don't have long, but he's still knocking. I don't know how long you have, but he's still knocking tonight. He still wants to save you. He's still longing for you to repent of your sin and trust in him. Maybe this is the last time you'll hear him knock. But he's still knocking for you. He still wants to save you. His posture, he's standing. His position, he's outside the door. His persistence, he keeps on knocking. His plea. What does he say? Open the door. It's simple. Open the door. The gospel is put in words that are so easy to understand. You speak to a little child. I remember the sheer panic. In our house, we rented a house for 6 years. It wasn't the child that I have with me here. It was the one before that. And our washroom was one of the old-fashioned with a proper lock and a key. Of course, our little boy got in there And he locked it. He pulled out the key. We thought, how ever are we going to get in there? Second story. And I think the water was running and the bath was filling. And the panicked phone call to my dad to get a long ladder. I could visualize us climbing up and breaking in and trying to rescue him. You know what goes through the mind. And while all that was taking place, I was on my knees at whispering under the door, just open the door, please. Open the door. He wasn't very old. But oh, what relief and the tension of it when I could hear the scraping of the metal and the little hand going up. And before my dad got round with the big ladder, and before we had to smash through, he opened the door. And oh, we hugged him. I never forget that day. He just opened the door. You can open the door tonight. Just simply put your hand to that handle. Turn from your sin. And trust in Jesus Christ. And you'll find him there on the threshold of your life. He's never far from you. He died to save you. He rose to welcome you into heaven. He's right on the threshold tonight. And if you would open, you will find him there. What a promise. I will come in. I will come in. What a guest to have in life. Because of my travels, I'm very often a guest, and I'm very well treated. And Kamloops is no exception. But what a guest to have, to welcome into your heart and home Christ, the Son of God. To know that even if you cannot share a problem with your wife, something that's running so deep that you cannot express it, that there's someone in your life that you can express it to. It's the loving Son of God who died for you and is your Savior. I can tell you that your loved ones will have to leave you at the door. When they wheel you into an operating theater, you'll go alone. But if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, he goes with you in there. Because a Christian is never alone. He says, I will come in. I've just discovered that North America is a lot more biblical than Ireland, but you would know that anyway. He says, I'll sup with you. Back home, supper is after the meeting and a cup of tea and a few biscuits. Well, here it's not that at all. It's the main meal of the day. That's what this is. He says, I'll come in and I will have the main meal with you. And you will eat with me. Oh, what a joy to know Christ. You don't know what you're missing. You know, the Holy Spirit has brought together two meal scenes tonight. My dear brother has been telling you about a Father who wants to eat with us eternally. And the Lord Jesus who wants to eat with us in time. Oh, the joy of knowing God and having Christ as a Savior. What have you got to do? Well, this you must do. Put your hand to the handle. And open the door. Repent of your sin. And trust in Jesus Christ. And find him on the very threshold of your life to come in and never to leave you. May God bless his word.